Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Kiddushin Chaf Aleph. We got up to the fourth line off the top of the Amud Amalei Rav Acha. Braid Rav Rav Ashi, I have a question. This is going back to the Brisa, which mentioned a Kal Vachomer. You see, the Torah allows a person to redeem his property, to refund, for instance, Hegdish. We actually had four examples of Pidyon, which is also called Geula. It pertains to a person who's Magdish his field, gives away his assets to the Beis HaMikdash. He can go back and redeem it. Selling a field to a friend allows for redemption. Selling a home, a bayis, for instance, a bayis in a walled city, which has its own status in the Torah, they're also redemption. Refunding its buyer is par for the course. And fourth example is an Eved who sold himself as a slave to a goy, or let's say to a yid. So redemption is all part of the deal. What about a partial redemption? He doesn't have enough to make a full bailout. What if he doesn't even have money at all and he wants to borrow the money? Can that work? Can he compel the customer to go and cooperate with him? Or does it need to be his own money? Or do we say it needs to be a full redemption, which is actually the definition of geula? Freedom, redemption, bailout, full. Either all or nothing. So that's the question we dealt with yesterday. And the Gemara brought a brisa which cited a pasuk. In goyel yigal, it's a repetitious pasuk, it's a ribui, that by a magdish, you can come back and be goyel, even if it involves borrowing the money, even if it involves a partial redemption. And the reason why we needed a pasuk is because otherwise we would learn from the other halachis that one cannot make a partial redemption. For instance, from the Meicher Sadeh Achuz, he sells his estate, his field, or selling a bayis bebatei orei chayma in a city with a wall which doesn't allow for these privileges. And that's why we need a pasuk. Magdish is different. Now the Gemara will now challenge this notion. Why would I think that Magdish can be compared to the others? And we had a Kal Vachomer yesterday, and basically we were following up on that. Amalei Rav Acha Brei D'Rav L'Rav Ashi Ikel Mifrach. You can differentiate between a home sold in a walled city where you can't, you know, exercise these redemption options. You can differentiate between that and a Magdish. A Magdish is way different. Mal Meicher Bayis B'Batei Rechayma Shekein Hura Koichei Ligoi La'olam. You see there, the seller is at a grave disadvantage. Once his first year is up, once it's been sold for a year, he didn't exercise that redemption option, it's now permanently granted to the buyer. So he's at a big disadvantage. So now it makes sense that he doesn't have the other privileges as well. The Torah doesn't give him that much power. Toimar ben Magdish, as opposed to a person who gives away his field to Hegdish, there, you know, you have practically, you know, unlimited amount of time to redeem the field until Yovel. So maybe he gets this privilege as well. You can do a partial redemption. You can't compare the two things. So why would I need a pasuk to allow, you know, by Hegdish? Why would I think otherwise? You can't compare it to the other case, to the bias. Amalei Rav Ach, Sabal Rav Ashi. So he responded like this. Yes, we do need a pasuk. Otherwise, we would think that these redemption options do not apply to Magdish. Mishum de'ikol ha'meimer, we can say like this. Nehadar dina, let's just sort of go back and forth. Teisi b'ma'atzad, we'll make a ma'atzad, which basically means we'll discover a common denominator, a factor which is commonly found by both, by selling a field, which is called meicher sadeh achuz, and in the case of selling a home in a walled city. And that will provide the basis for this havamina, for this notion, to indicate that Magdish as well cannot just go ahead and borrow money or do a partial redemption. That's why we need a pasuk that he can. Okay, let's see. Meicher sadeh achuz yechiach. So here we say that perhaps bayis bebatei rechayma doesn't really indicate much because there it's such a limited type of redemption. Well, one second. Meicher sadeh achuz yechiach. I can disprove that notion by pointing to a seller of a field, of a, you know, a family plot. There as well, there's no limit in terms of his ability to redeem. He can redeem it until Yovel. And still, despite this advantage, we see he has a disadvantage. He can't borrow the funds needed for redemption, or he can't do a partial redemption. So perhaps by Magdash as well. And that's why we need a pasuk that Hegdish is different. Well, one second. Selling a field is totally different. Because there we find another weakness, so to speak. You know, he has to wait. That's what it says in the Torah. He has to wait until his buyer experienced, enjoyed that farm for at least 2 years. So the seller is at a disadvantage. You can't just go and immediately redeem. So maybe it comes along with the other disadvantage of a partial redemption, which cannot be done, as opposed to a Hegdish, where there's no minimum time limit. He can go right away and take it back. So maybe it has the other advantage as well. So you can't compare. Well, Meicher Bavais Bebote Recham Yechiech. Let's go look at the house that was sold, where there's no minimum time limit. He can go right away and buy it back. And still we find that he can't do the partial redemption. So basically, you can't say that this factor is the cause or the other factor is the cause. Let's sort of combine the two and say like this. V'chazer adin, we take the equation and we run it back and forth. Loi ro'izeh. The factor on this side of the equation doesn't necessarily provide the solution, because look, the other factor, the other example, the other halacha doesn't have that factor, and still it has the same limitation. So ultimately, that factor or this factor cannot be the reason. Rather, what's the common denominator? What is a common factor found in both? Moicher Sade Achuza and Moicher Bayis Vibote Rechaima, which will provide the basis for Hegdish as well. Shnei Golim. In both cases, redemption is on the table. But it's limited. You can't borrow, you can't do partials. Af on the Avi Magdish. Likewise, I'll include Magdish. Shnei Golim. Redemption is an option, but still, you're limited. You can't borrow or do partials. That's what I would think. Comes the Pasuk and says, Magdish is different. Well, at least we explained why we need a Pasuk. Otherwise, we would think it doesn't work. Amalei Mazutri, pray the Rav Mari, the Ravina. One second. You're equating Magdish to the other two examples, to selling a field or selling a home. Ikal Mifrach. You can differentiate once again between Magdish and the others. Ma'ala Salah Shavash Ben. I'll provide you a common denominator found in those unfound in Hagdish and therefore uncomparable. Shekein Hura Koicham Ligoyel B'Shana Shnia. Listen to this. Can you redeem your field from the buyer during the second year? Can you redeem your home during the second year? And both, the answer is no, for different reasons. By the farm, it has to remain in his hands at least for 2 years before you can kind of approach him for redemption. So second year is out. By the home, you only have that first year to redeem. Once second year arrives, you're out. So in both, there's no redemption during second year. Hey, Magdish, as opposed to a Magdish. He's not limited. He can go redeem it during that second year. So it's unequatable to the other two. Amali Ravina, no. Because I can respond to that by saying like this. Instead of just combining Sadeh Achuzah with Bias to prove that common equation, which can be transferred to Hegdish as well, which you said it doesn't work, you know, it doesn't really pan out, doesn't work because they have something in common not found by Hegdish. Let's add another part to the equation. Eved Ivri Hanimkar Leivet Kecham Yichich. Let's add the Jewish slave sold to the guy. Sheyafa Koycheli Goy B'Shor Shana Shnia. Oh, there's no limitation in terms of redemption on during the second year. You can do that. And still, nevertheless, Vein Leivet Vegoy Vegoy Chatzon. You can't borrow or do a partial redemption. So let's sort of combine all three. Selling a field, selling a home, and the Eved sold to the Goy. In all these, we find that you're limited. You can't borrow the funds, nor can you do a partial redemption, so perhaps Hegdish works the same way. That's why a Pasuk is needed. Bottom line is like this. Selling a field, selling a home, selling an Eved, you can't borrow or do a partial redemption, but by Hegdish, we have a special Pasuk. Egal, you can do that. Okay, let's move on to another topic. We find that at least twice, the Torah speaks about a relative coming and bailing you out. Number one, in a case where one sells himself as a slave to a guy, the Torah clearly speaks about a relative coming and bailing him out. Case B is when he sells a personal, a farm. Mochar ma'achuzasi. Once again, the pasuk speaks about goy alei, a relative coming and bailing you out. So in two cases, we know it can work. And you can force the buyer to cooperate. What about the other cases? What about if he sold himself to a yid? What about he sold a home in a walled city, which is treated different than just a plot of land? Do we apply the same idea? A relative can come along and compel the customer to cooperate and redeem, and accept a refund? Bayimine Rav Huna bar Chinina Rav Sheshes. Hamecher Bayis. You sell a home in a walled city in Eretz Yisrael, Nigal Lekreiv. Can a relative come along and bail him out? Oy ein Nigal Lekreiv or not? Why yes, why not? Gulasi, Gulasi. Perhaps we'll connect the two words. Gula that we find over here by Bayis to Gula we find by the Sadi Achuza. Gulasi, Gulasi, Misde Achuza. Gamar, we compare the two things and we say, Ma Sadi Achuza, Eina Negelas Lachatzoin, Vinegelas the Krib, just like the Sadi Achuza cannot be redeemed partially, as we learned before, that's a given. But at the same time, a relative could come along and offer that redemption. Af Hainami here as well by the Bayis. Eina Negel Chatzoin, you can't do a half redemption, like we basically said before. But has an advantage, has an upside to it. A relative can come along and offer that bailout. That's one side of the equation. Or perhaps, when do we compare and equate this to that? It's only regarding the definition of geula. You can only do a full redemption, because that's the definition of geula. But in terms of comparing it regarding the other halacha of relatives, perhaps, that's not what the pasuk is talking about. Amar le eina nigal, you're right. Relatives have no say when it comes to a bias. Bebatei areichim. Eis we have a kash on you. Pasuk says, b'chol, right? The pasuk reads, b'chol eretz achuzaschem geula titnu naaretz. In all cases, geula is applicable. Redemption, refunding, is on the table. There's a ribu here, trying to include something which is not clear. L'rabbi is batem beved ivri. You sell yourself to a yid, or you sell your house. Geula is on the table. Now, my love, but erichema. So the Gemara is assuming that even a Eved Ivri or a Bayis, but erichema, are included in the halacha of Geula, of relatives coming and redeeming. Says the Gemara, no. Who says? Loi, but echatzirim. Perhaps I'm speaking not about a Bayis in a walled city, rather, we're speaking about a Bayis sitting out in an open, unwalled city, which is a totally different concept. Maybe over there we treat it, like a field. And therefore we apply Geulas Krev, but not by a Bayis, but Batei Areichem. Asks the Gemara, Batei Chatzerim, that type of open home, Behedik Sibu, Alstei Eretz Yechashev. We have another pasuk which classifies it like a farm. So of course this Geula Bekrev, just like a Stei Achuz, there's no need to discuss it. Answers the Gemara, you're right. The reason why we rediscuss it is Hahu, that pasuk is lekoivai choiva. It's coming to obligate a relative. Look, your poor relative sold his home because he was financially strapped. Come along and redeem it. Get it back to him. It's a choiv. You're obligated to do so. So it's not just a nice thing to do. It's not just optional. It's obligatory. V'alib d'Rav Lezer, we're going to Rav Lezer who holds it as such. Tesanya. V'galas mimkar achiv. So his relative came along and redeemed the property. Rishus, it's optional. He doesn't have to do it. Ato imi rishus. You're suggesting that it's optional? Maybe it's a chiv. Pasuk speaks about a person redeeming his own property because he has no goyel, no relative to do so. Could that be? A person doesn't have a relative at all? Every year has some relative, even a distant relative. Why is the pasuk speaking about a non-relative situation? Ela zeh sheyesh lev ein eretz alikach. Speaking that has plenty of relatives, plenty of rich uncle. They're interested. Shereshus biyali, the Rebbe Shua, going to Rebbe Shua, it's optional. Can't force them. That's what the pasuk is speaking about. Rebbe Lezo Eimer, no. V'gol es mimkar achiv means chayva, he has to. If you could, you must do it. You're suggesting that it's obligatory. Maybe it's up to him. That's the pasuk we mentioned before. The Torah is now obligating him to do so. So bottom line is, we had a question. A bias. Does it allow for relatives to come redeem? We thought we had a pasuk. No, the pasuk is coming to be mechayiv, a relative to come in the case of a sada, etc. But in the case of a bais, in a walled city, we're not sure if that's applicable. Amrili Rabbanu Ravashi. But Amrili, some say it was Rabbeinu Ravashi. Bishlem Lamanda Amrili Rabbis Botei Rechaimah. If we say that Gula B'Kraivim is applicable even to a bais in a Rechaimah, Hayo D'Ksiv B'Kraivim, that explains the extra B'Kraivim like we said before. Ela Lamanda Amrili Rabbis Botei Chatzerim. But if you hold that the pasuk is not including the bias in a walled city, rather it's just coming like Rabbi Lazar to tell you, you know, that an ordinary home, bati chatzerim, you know, the unwalled cities, which are considered like a farm, pasuk is telling you that a relative must do it, chayva, right? Elam adam alaram is bati chatzerim. Okay, very good, but why Bekoil? Bekoil sounds like we're trying to include another case, another situation. Not just a matter of repeating the halacha. Repetition tells you obligatory versus optional, fine. But Bekoil indicates inclusion. We're trying to include another case unmentioned until now. My Bekoil? Kashi, we leave it as a kash. Eis v'abaye. Here comes another kash from Abaye on Rav Sheshes, who tells us that there's no such a concept of gulas craving in a bayis irachayma. Why is the pasuk repeat itself three times? The rabbis call a gulis to include all sold items that conform to this system, which basically means that relatives come and redeem it. They have that option. My love, so what are these three things? What are all these cases? Right? So including everything, basically. Right, so the extra Yigalenus are coming to tell you we have other cases unmentioned. Bayis Batei Rechayma, Evedevri, who sold to Yisrael, which we had no clue about his Gula B'Kraivim option. Here we do. So it's clearly applicable even to a Bayis Batei Rechayma, not like Rav Sheshes said. No, Loi Batei Chatzerim is Te'echus. The pasuk is speaking about a home in an unwalled city. We're speaking about a Te'echus, some sort of field, but not a bias in a irchaim. Why do we need an extra pasuk for that? Bati chatzirim stay achuzah. Behati ksiv. We have a clear pasuk. I'll stay a arzi chashiv. Right. So the achuzah is clear. Right. We know kraven can come and redeem. There's a pasuk for that. And bati chatzirim. Well, the Torah treats it, classifies it like a stay achuzah. Why would we need a special pasuk, if not to include bias be irchaim? Answers the Gemara. No. You're 100% right. We already know Gulas Kroivim by the Sada. But perhaps the Pasuk is adding a new dimension to tell you that a relative, you know, in terms, the closer you are, the closer a relative you are to this destitute seller, the more you're obligated to come in, step in, and bail him out. Because the Omer of Nachman Yitzchak, as Nachman Yitzchak tells us later on, and regarding a different context, Lekarev Karev Kaidim, but the pasuk is telling you that the closer you are to this fellow, the more you are obligated. Hachanami here as well. In fact, the Torah repeats itself. You go learn it three times. Hachanami Lekarev Karev Kaidim, the closer you are, you must come and redeem his farm, the more obligated you are to do so. Hey, Chayitma, Dev Nachma, it's like, where do we find that drush? Aha, regarding a different discussion. The question was like this. Until now, we spoke about a bias and a Yerachayma. What about an Eved Ivri, Hanem Kali Yisrael, a Jewish slave sold to a Yid? Nigal Kraven? Oh, yeah, a Nigal Kraven. Is this Gulas Kraven applicable or not? Now, Aliba the Rebbe, according to Rebbe Shita, we discussed a couple of days ago, there's no question that it doesn't apply, because he clearly said so. The Omer, because in his Brayis on Daf Tezvav, he told us that Mi She'ena Nigal Be'ela. Ela is referring to what's mentioned earlier in the Pasuk, Gulas Kraven. So one who sold to Yisrael doesn't have the Gula's Kravim option, the Gal Bashesh, you can still go free once 6 years are up. So bottom line is pretty clear. Amale Mifrak, he holds that Nimukali Yisrael doesn't have Gula's Kravim. Kiti Boyle, the question applies Libud Rabbanon. The other sheet is don't learn the Psukim the way he did it. Mais, that's the question. Yalfinan Sachir Sachir. Do we make that connection, that link between Meichel Yisrael and Meichel Goy through the Sachir Sachir Zereshava? And they don't focus on the word Yigalenu, which sort of excludes a Nimkali Yisrael. Or perhaps they do focus on the word Yigalenu, which is mentioned by a Yisrael Nimkali Goy. Only Eved Yisrael sold to a Goy has the relative redemption option. But not the other fellow who sold to a Yid. So that's the question. Which way is it? Tashma will try to prove it from the following price, which focuses on that pasuk that we had before, ubechoil geula titnu, which includes other types of cases for geula. The rabbi's batim, veved ivri. Relatives can come in and bail out when a home was sold, when an eved ivri was sold. Ma'ila batei rechaima, veved ivri, anim kali Yisrael. Perhaps we're speaking about a bias in a walled city. A slave sold to Yisrael. There's your answer. It works. Lo, you know, says the gemara, eved ivri, anim kali eved kechavim. We're speaking specifically about an eved sold to a goy. That's where relatives step in. Well, for that you need a new pasuk. We already know that. It's a whole parsha about it. Eved ivri anim kalev kicham b'adiksibei. There's a whole pasuk which lists all his possible saviors: a doida, his uncle, a ben doida, his cousin, yigalenu. So why do we need a new pasuk for that? Well, says the Gemara, who? The new pasuk of Bakoil is coming to tell you something. Well, to make it obligatory. Who the kayve chayva? Afilu Rabbi Yeshua. Remember, Rabbi Yeshua told us a couple of minutes ago. When it comes to one who sold his property, although a relative can come and redeem it, but he's not chayv to do so. But when he sold himself to a goy, that's really desperate. That's important to get him out of the ASAP. So therefore, here the Torah says, "Look, b'koil gula tintum, get the relative, get him over quickly to redeem his nephew." But we still haven't proven regarding an eved ivri and nimkali Yisrael. Tashma, here comes another attempt. Why does it say Gimel Pa'am Yigalenu? The Rabbis call a Geulah, and the Geulahs can say that. Is that to tell you that this type of Geula, meaning relatives being involved in redeeming, applies to all types of sales and situations? My love, we're assuming it's referring to all types of sales. Batei Rechaima, we have a Dibur in Kli Yisrael, and that proves our question. So the one, Loi Batei Chatzerim, Batei Achuzim. Maybe we're speaking about ordinary home, we're talking about a farm. Well, for that we don't need a new pasuk. Bati chatzerim, bedik sibu, al stei haaretz yichashev. You know, we have psukim for that. A farm is redeemed by relatives. A house in an ordinary situation is like a sada. Why do we need a new pasuk if it's not coming to include the elusive eved ivri anim kal Yisrael? Amar rachmar yitzchak. No, maybe it's just speaking about those cases and coming to add a new twist, the karev kaidim, to indicate that the closer you are to this fellow, you have to come and redeem him. Closer you are, the more you're obligated. Okay, so bottom line is, we left it inconclusive. We know that an Eved Ivri and Imkali Eved Gecham can be redeemed by relatives. Likewise, a Stei Achuza can be redeemed by relatives. What about Eved Ivri and Imkali Yisro? What about a Bayis Batei Rechayma? We're not sure. Okay, now we're back to the Mishnah Daf Yedalad. All methods of acquisition of the Eved, all methods of exit. How do you acquire an Eved Niritza who opted to stay on past a 6-year term? Through Ritzia, through piercing his ears. His ear. It's right here. Clear pasuk. How does he leave you? If the 50th year arrives, the master passes away, he doesn't get carried over to the kid. He's your master. He's your Eved. But not transferable to the kids. The pasuk says avodei le'olam doesn't mean forever and ever. It means le'olam shel yovel, which is a sort of a full cycle of the years up to the shemitah, yovel year, and then he goes free. Tanu rabbanan. We speak about ritzia, the piercing, the drilling. How does that work? Tanu rabbanan. Maritzeya. The pasuk speaks about a maritzeya, some sort of utensil used to pierce. Ein li'ela maritzeya. So perhaps you can only use the tool, this metal piercer. What about other types of improvised tools? Ryan the rabbis has soul. Some sort of pointy wooden pick. V'asira. What about a thorn? V'amacha, the needle, v'amakdeach. Some kind of drill. V'amichtav. Metallic writing utensil. Do they work for Ritzio? Yeah. Tamulemi v'lakachta. Any sort of item can work. L'rabi is kaldova shenikach v'yad. Anything you could use. Pick anything up and use it. Divrei Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. That's his shita. Rabbi Omer has to be made of metal. Ma marzea. All other options have to be comparable. Have to contain an element which is equated with the marzea. What's unique about the marzea? Ma marzea miyuchad shel mateches. It's unique in the sense that it's made of mateches. Iron. Af kol shel mateches. Likewise, any metallic item works. But if it's not mateches, for instance, the wooden pick, you can't use that. Davar acher, some take out davar acher hamartzea. What's the word hamartzea? The extra hey coming to tell you, lahavi hamartzea agadli. You can use this jumbo size martzea, despite the fact that it wreaks havoc and makes a large hole. You can use that as well. Amar Rabbi Elazar, he tells us like this. It was a big chacham called Yudan. Yudan Beribi, the god Lador, the greatest of the generation, hayodirish. He would teach us as follows. This was his input. Kishain writes him. You know, when they pierce his ear, where do they do it? On the soft, you know, ear lobe, or further up? Can you do it at the hard, you know, section, right through the cartilage? Where do you do it? Ain writes him elu milsa, only on the soft part. V'chacham aimrim. So that's his opinion, but the Gemara continues that the Chachamim disagreed. Chachamim Imrim, Ein Eved Ivri Kayin Nirza. We happen to know this halacha. This was something, a Kabbalah from our Rebbe's, that an Eved Ivri, who happens to be a Kayin, cannot undergo the piercing process. Why? Because it's going to disqualify him from serving the Beis HaMikdash, right? A Kayin who has a visible blemish cannot serve. And Ritzia makes him into a blemished person. Right, so that's the Kabbalah we have. Ritzia cannot be applied to a Kohen because it's going to make him a Balmum, which is unacceptable. Now, what does that tell you in terms of where, in terms of the location of the Ritzia? It has to be a permanent blemish. So it can't be that it's taking place on his earlobe, which is not really a Mum. That's the halacha. The earlobe is a soft area. That doesn't constitute a mum if it's pierced. Then time of the mil same rights. If you're going to suggest that they pierce down at the lobe, hech eved ivri kain yasa bal mum. So why is the eved ivri disqualified from ritzia? It's going to turn into bal mum. There's no bal mum. Ha'ein nirtza ele begeva shel oisin. That proves that ritzia takes place higher up in the air. Okay, before we focus on this, let's just go back to the first machlekes in the brayso. We have two machlekes here, right? One is regarding the utensil, the type of drill they use, and then we discuss location. So, let's just review quickly. So, in terms of the Marzea, Rabbi says it must be Shel Mateches. Rabbi Yeshua says any piercing item works. But my Kamifligi, what's the Machlekes about? What's it based on? The Rabbi Dorish Kloli Uprati. Rabbi works with the generalization and itemization system, Klal Uprat, as follows. Pasuk begins with a general, you know, reference. V'lakachta, take whatever you want to pierce his ear. Klal, it's a klal, it's a general term. Then the pasuk itemizes, specifies, marzeya, prat. But then the pasuk goes back to generalizing again. Some put in the word v'nasata. V'nasata, v'oznei, v'delos, pierce right through his ear into the door without specifying what type of tool to use. So it's general, specific, and general. Chazra v'kol. So what do? Klal prato klal. We apply the formula called klal prato klal. And Torah is telling you, look, you don't have to stick to that item, to that specific item. You can use many, you know, options as long as it's somewhat similar to the item mentioned. Ma prat, just like the item is mefurah shel mateches, af kol shel mateches. What is unique about the item mentioned? The marzeya was made of metal. You want to use a different tool? Be my guest, but it has to qualify. It has to be mateches. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, he works with a different system. Darash ribuya yemiute. He works with a different type of formula, inclusive and exclusive, which ends up giving you much more. So again, we go through the three stages of the pasuk. We begin with lakachta, which is riba. It's including all types of utensils. Then we have specifics. Marzeah, which is a miyate. We're excluding others other than marzeah. And then we go over nasata, bazne, badelas, which is again an inclusive term. Chazav riba, riba, umiyat riba. We have a inclusive, exclusive, and inclusive. Riba hakoyel, we pretty much include everything. So we end up including much more. It doesn't have to really qualify. It doesn't have to match the itemized detail. It has to be somewhat similar. We want to sort of include everything except for something which is way off, right? So my Rabbi, what's included? Rabbi, I call merely any type of utensil. Wooden, non-wooden, it works. But we have to exclude something. After all, the Torah is trying to tell you to be selective. My Miyad, well, what's the farthest option that's totally dissimilar than to a tool, to a marzeah? Miyad some. You use some sort of some sort of chemical, which pierces his ear. That doesn't work. It needs to be an act of piercing with a tool. Amamar, and the Braisa continued, Ha marzeah, lahavi, marzeah gadol, use a jumbo marzeah, my mashma, how do you see a jumbo marzeah? Could the Amar Rava, like Rava told us somewhere else, this was regarding Gid Hanasha. Is it on his right or on his left? It says, Ha yorech. The hay tells you, the unique one, Ham Yumena Shabiyarech. The animal's right, Giranasha, is the one that's asur. So hey highlights Hachanami. Here as well, it says Hamarseya. We're highlighting Miyuchad. Shabimartin, the unique one, the big one, the jumbo one, you can use that as well. Okay, now as far as location, Abimachlaikis, Amr Abelazar, Yudim Bribio Yiderish, he would tell us, Kshain Reitzin, where would Ritzia take place? Ain Reitzin Elwa Milsa, down at the lobe. The soft part. Chacham Aymrim, no, ain evit ibikoyin yirtza. Meishanas abamum. We know that an evit kain cannot experience ritzia. It makes him abamum, which indicates that you pierce, where it makes a blemish up at the cartilage. Okay, that proves their point. But question: who says you can't make a kain evit abamum? There's no isra in making abamum, right? Who's to say that he can't do Ritzia because of that? Omar Rabba Barav Shila, the Pasuk says so. Omar Kroa, Vishaval Mishpachte. After piercing his ear, he's done his next stint, Tol Yaival, a regular Evid Nirtza. He goes back to his family, to his earlier status, missing nothing. Lemuchsuk Shubi Mishpachte. Back to the same status within his family as he had before. Now, apparently, you can't change his status. You can't turn him into a Baalmum, which will disqualifying from joining his family in the Avodah in the Mikdash. So a Kohen Eved cannot have Ritzia. Next question regarding an Eved Kohen. Ibailu, Eved Ivri Kohen. Let's say you have a Jewish slave who happens to be a Kohen. We know that ordinarily a master can pair him up with these Shifcha Kananis. Does it apply to a Kohen as well? Perhaps he's more limited, more restricted. He's elevated. Mao Shayim Shayle Rabbi Shifcha Kananis. Shall we say, sure. Chiddush, the whole thing is something really unique. Typically, a Jewish boy doesn't pair up with a Shechah Kananis. So perhaps an Eved works, on a different track. Lo Yishna Kayhanan, Lo Yishna Yisrael, whether he's a Kayhan or Yisrael, he's an Eved. And it's permissible. Idumo, shall we say, no. Shani Kayhanan, Kayhanan are still different. Hoyel V'ribu Ben HaKosav, Mitzvah Yisrael, as we find the Torah, gave him so many more mitzvahs. They're meant to keep higher standards than the rest of us. So which way is it? Rav Amar, Mutar, it's okay. Shmuel Amar, Asa, it's not okay. Amar, Rav Nachman, Rav Anna. I find this to be strange that Shmuel would say it's Asr. Ki avisu b'mar Shmuel. I bet you, when you were spending time learning Torah from Shmuel, you weren't really paying attention. Pretty harsh statement. Bis kumadri. You were just playing with some, chips, some cards or something. It's halalisa, you were just playing around. You weren't paying close attention. I find it hard to believe that Shmuel would forbid the Eved from interacting with the Shifcha. You know why? My time alay shemele miha. Fine, I believe he said it, but why didn't you respond to him? Why didn't you challenge him? We just had a braise. Chachamim aymrim. Ein Eved ivri kohen nirtza. You can't do ritzi on an Eved who's a kohen. Why? Like we said, mishanasa ba'amon. That's the reason. And that's the only reason. Well, according to Shmuel, there's another more basic reason why he can't become a nirtza. If he can never have a Shifcha Kananis to begin with, then he can't be expressing his wish. Well, I want to stay on with her. It's not applicable to the kohen if he's usher in a Shifcha Kananis. So how could he ever become an Eved Nirtza? If it's true that an Eved who's a Kohen can't live with a Shifcha Kananis, typically, then in any case, he can never go to the next stage of becoming an Eretz Adabayinu, you know, because we need that declaration. Look, I want to stay on with my master, my wife, my... Which wife? The Shifcha. He can't have a Shifcha. Valenka. It's not applicable to him. Tule Midi. No more need to be said, says Rav Nachman to Rav Anan. This proves my point. Apparently, an Eved Ivri who happens to be a Kohen is no different than Eved Ivri Yisrael. He's paired up with a Shifcha and certainly can have the Ritzia experience. Sorry. Ultimately, he can't, because he can't become a Baal Mum. But that's the only reason. If not for that reason of the Baal Mum, there would be no other obstacle in his way. He can say Ahavtis Ishti because he can marry Shiva Kananis. So that proves my point that it's mutter, even to an Eved Kohen. Here comes another similar question. Kohen Mahu Biyifas Toyar. We all know the Psukim at the beginning of Parshas Ki Tse describes a fellow who was at war and he was attracted to that non-Jewish woman. The Torah says, look, you're human, Hashem understands your weaknesses, and if you feel compelled to, you can take her and ultimately take her as a wife. A Kohen. Can he involve himself in this process? Kohen mau b'yifas toyar. Shall we say? Yeah, he's no different than a Yisrael. Chidushu. This whole thing is an anomaly. It's something unusual. Lo yishna Kohen. Lo yishna Yisrael, which applies equally to all. Whether you're a Kohen or Yisrael. Or perhaps, no, Kohen has higher standards. Shani Kehanu Kehanu, different, as we said before, Hail Veribo Behenakosov Mitzvah Yisir. So which way is it? Rav Amar, it's okay. For a Kohen as well, Mutar. Shmuel Amar Asur. Explains the Gemara. Be a Rishayna. Regarding their first time physically together, the Kuli Amalei Pliga Dishari all agree that it's Mutar even for a Kohen, because after all, the whole point is to alleviate his urge. The Loidibra Teire El Kenegid Yitzharah. The whole point is, Torah understands the human condition. Rashi says over here, about 10 lines from the bottom, Dibra Torah, Lo Yitira Sel Bishvil Yetzer Hara. We're addressing the reality of the Yetzer Hara. Shim Lo Yitira Yavra Al Hasara. Torah knows if he might be tempted to the point that he's going to violate the Yisr. K'diol of L'kameh Min Dechsiv Yifas Toyer. The Pasuk clearly describes this fellow as being attracted to her. She Yetzer Hara, Mizgara Boy, he's tempted by Yetzer Hara. Therefore, we applied equally to a Yisrael or a Kohen. The same temptation applies to a Kohen. He's no different. He's no higher in that sense. So if the point is to address this concern, then the Kohen has the option as well. So be a Rishonah, there's no question. The question is, once they had that first experience, can he continue on with her? That's the machlokes. Rav Amar, yeah, mutter. Shmuel Amar, also explains the Gemara. Rav Amar, mutter, even a Kohen is mutter to stay unmarried with her. Hoyo v'yishtari, yishtari, because once the Torah stamped her as permitted, permissible, once the Torah issued the heter, opened the door, that's it. It's mutter. Shmuel Amar, also. Shmuel says, no, it's different. The first time around, she was really a guy. The Torah made an exception. But it's a one-time exception, because if he wants to stay on with her as a husband and wife, then she's put through a conversion process, right? She's a geyeris, and a geyeris cannot marry a kohen. The havila geyeris, and we know that the geyeris to a kohen, the kohen lechazia. Therefore, she's aser. So according to this version, bia rishon is mutter, according to all shittas, bia shnei is a machlekes. Rav says mutter, Shmuel says aser, regarding a kohen, of course. Ikadamri, this is a second version of this discussion. Their second time around, meaning after that first encounter, he can't stay on with her. A Kohen is not allowed to be with this Giyaris. Davil Giyaris, who is incompatible with a Kohen. He pleaded with Rishon. The question is, can they be physically together one time? Rav Amar, yeah, Mutter. As we explained before, the whole point is to counter the Yetzirah's temptation, the Haloi Dibra Teira, Eloka Neged Yetzirah. Therefore, Kohen and Yisrael all in the same boat. Shmuel Amar, no, Asur. Yisrael is allowed, but not a Kohen. You know why? Because a Kohen cannot put her through the entire process. with the ultimate marriage. If we can apply phase two, take her as a wife, which can't apply to a kohen, as we explained, in that case, Karina Bey Varisa Beshivya, then we apply the first part as well. He notices her in captivity and he takes her. So only Yisrael can actualize phase two, can do phase one. But Kalecha de Loi Karina Bey Varisa Tech Beshivya, but a kohen cannot actualize phase two, he can't marry her. Loi Karina Bey Varisa Beshivya, phase one doesn't apply as well, she's totally off limits to him. Okay, on the topic of Yifas Toyar, the Brisa will provide a couple more examples, a couple more details, what's involved in this concept. Tana Rabbana, Barisa Bashivya, Bishas Shivya. Torah specifies, he took notice of her while she was taken captive, meaning at that point he already intended to marry her. But if initially he took her, you know, to be moicher her as a shivcha, and then he changed his mind, he changed his plan, that doesn't work. See, the initial possession, taking her, has to be with this in mind. The pasuk continues. For Isa Bashivya, Eishas Yifas Toyer. Eishas means, I feel Eishas, even if she's a married woman, married to a guy, it's mutter. The words Yifas Toyer are indicating to us that he's attracted to her. L'idibra Toyer, Ela Kenegad Yitzahara, like I explained before. The Torah opts for this option, even though it's not preferred, but it's the better of the two options. Mutav sheyoichul Yisrael basar tmusois. Tmusois is lashon of like mace, an animal who was in a precarious state of health, about to die. Shechting this animal, even though technically it's mutav, but it's not preferred. In fact, Yecheskel Hanavi prided himself for keeping away from these types of animals. But it's better. It's the lesser of the two evils. While Yoichel Basar Tmusis Nevelos, rather than eating an animal who died as a Nevelos, was never shechted. So, it's a parable. It's a mashal. The Torah says, look, he might be tempted to do something worse. Let's give him that allowance. V'choshakt. He was attracted to her. He had a desire. Ava b'she'ena no. Even though, perhaps, in reality, she's not attractive, but he has his temptation, and that's what counts. Pasuk continues. Chashakta ba, ba v'loy ba v'chaverta. He can't take two. Pasuk says v'lokachta likuchen yesh lecha ba. If you choose, you can take her as a wife. You can actually acquire her as a wife. The words l'chaloisha tell you shelo yikach shtei nashim. Achas loy v'achas lavav. He can't take two. One for himself and one to give to his father or to a relative. Achas loy v'achas lavnoi. One for himself, one for his son. It's only a one-time thing. One isha. That's it. Pasa continues, Vavesa, Otech Beisecha, teaches you, Malamed, Shelo Yilchatsana, but Muhammad, you can't, you shouldn't compel her to be with him physically out there at the war theater. Rather, he has to be involved with her with her consent, Vavesa, Otech Beisecha, in a settled environment. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We started with Gula Lachatsoin, which is only allowed by Hegdish, as opposed to Meicher Steachuza, Meicher Bayis, Batei Rechaim, or Eved Ivri Yanimkar. Regarding Gula's Kroiv, we know that it applies to one who sold a field. It applies to an Eved who was sold to a Goy. What about sold to a Yisra? We're not sure. What about a Bayis and a Rechaim? We're not sure. Must a relative redeem? Well, optional, according to some, obligatory, according to others. And karev, karev, koidem, the closer you are, the more you should be taking responsibility. Okay, we moved on to the Eved Nirtza. We discussed the specific utensils to be used. We discussed the exact location of that pierce. We discussed whether it can apply to a kohen. And we discussed whether the Eishas Yifas Toyar applies to a kohen or just to Yisrael. And on that topic, we elaborated further on the details when, where, and how the Eishas Yifas Toyer is mutter. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.